scriptures. Let's open our Bibles this evening. We're in the fourth chapter of 1 John, and that's the fourth chapter of 1 John. And as we begin this chapter, it's just truly been overwhelming to me how precious and merciful our Lord is, and how He just makes His Word, it is so real, but it's just the grace of God, how He brings it forth. And I just feel so privileged that God truly has us in Scripture at this time. And all Scripture is profitable. We know that. But especially with what's going on in the world, with even the prayer requests that we've just heard tonight, the lack of the love of God, the dissension. I hope that we would feel free as we're moved of the Lord. We need to pray for everyone. We do. That God would be moving. And all of our leaders, senators included. So, you know, whoever God puts up, He's going to put up anyways. But this is just so wonderful. As I mentioned on Sunday, brothers and sisters, we're in a time more mighty than any time there's ever been, because Jesus is really ready to come. We know that. His scriptures are being so wonderfully fulfilled. The prophecy is coming forth. And just as great as we read that story of Moses and those children of Israel, and as they sat there captive in Egypt, and in a sense, we're sitting captive in a way, but we know that we're free in Him and we're free indeed. But there's an ark that's getting ready to take flight. And praise God, we're looking to that. And just as Moses came back and told those folks, he said, "Now look, God's going to send these plagues. It's coming." And just like old Pharaoh as he sat there, could you imagine that? God's going to send this plague, Pharaoh. Oh, go ahead. And he sent it, didn't he? You know, by the grace of God, I think it would just take me one. That God's real. You all move out of here. The city's okay. But it just shows you, when the heart is hardened, it's hardened. When the eyes don't want to see, they're not going to see. The ears don't want to hear, they're going to be deaf. And that's why it is just absolutely amazing with what's going on in this world, and how people are flocking after men, flocking after them, that's going to be the answer. And I'm talking about Christians. We need the love of God. And the love of God is His Word. And I really do thank Him that we have people from all walks of life in this meeting. And I believe that there's people from all walks of life that a heart is set on fire to win Him. Be thankful. Be so thankful, brothers and sisters. I sure am for you, and I'm thankful for what God is doing. But as we get into this fourth chapter, I believe it's truly essential. We're going to be talking about, as we hit here first, believe not every spirit. We're going to talk about spirits. And I think as we get into this, it's very important to understand just briefly again the differences of the body, the soul, and the spirit. And I'd like to open up the Bible study today reading the scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And it tells us there very clearly the distinction in this body, the soul, and the spirit. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And so grateful to God when we had the study of Thessalonians, how that's the only way you're ever going to have peace, is when you truly allow God to separate you unto Himself. And He sanctifies us wholly. "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless or complete unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there, very distinctly, and in other places of the Word of God as well too, it talks about the body, the soul, and the spirit. And I believe that we can first comprehend very easily this body is exactly what it is. It's talking about this human flesh body that God so sweetly formed out of dust. And that was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says there, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." And that's true. He took that dust, praise God, and He formed man. He made that body out of that dust. But it went on from there, believe it or not. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Isn't that precious? See, man became a living soul. And at that wonderful moment that he breathed into man, he not only gave him life, but he gave him a soul. And that soul, brothers and sisters, is what sets us apart from all other organisms or life. It's because it's a soul that can believe in God. It's a soul that can be redeemed. It's a soul that will live forever. And your soul will live forever. Everybody's soul is going to live forever somehow, some way. It's either going to live forever in the presence of our Lord, or it's going to live forever in a lake of fire. So we need to understand that and the gravity of what's going on. And right there, we see the body and the soul. And now, with that soul that's going to live forever, we understand that it's in need of a spirit. A spirit, the right spirit. And praise be to God, not just any spirit, but the Spirit of God. And in John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, Jesus answered. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it even gets more specific there. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, listen to that. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. It's the Spirit of Christ. And it's so sweet as you go into Vines, who defines this, that Spirit of Christ is the life-giving Spirit. It's his very own life Spirit that he's given us. And praise God, then it goes on to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And you can write these down, and I hope that you'll go back and read these. But in Galatians 4, 6, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Isn't that wonderful? I just think that's just so tremendous, how God made this body, gave it a soul, and he gave it a purpose, and that purpose was to receive that Spirit. And praise God, that wonderful Spirit, all by the grace of God, believing in his Son, and saved our soul. But, you know, as with God, it doesn't stop there either, does it? I'm so thankful that we can have his very life, but not only did he give us his very life, he empowered us and enriched us to have even the power of his might, which is obviously the Holy Spirit. And we're so grateful to God that we live in this time that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and we can live a life operating in the Holy Spirit. And that's the precious thing, the mighty power of God working in us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But see, brothers and sisters, our hope is we're no longer that natural man. We're the new man. We have that new man that God has given us. We're the new creation. And that is why we can receive the things of God. And as we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as the sweet Lord said, he's with you and shall be in you, and he'll lead you into all truth. He'll bring that. He'll be that guy that he'll open up all the riches of the mind to you if you want to go in there and get it. That's the offering that we have today. So with that, talking about just briefly, again, the difference between the body, the soul, and the spirit, I believe that that's a good introduction now to get back into John 4. And let's go ahead and read these first two verses. It says, beloved. So again, John, just inspired by the Holy Spirit, much loved. I love you all. By the grace of God, I'm laying down my life. Remember what we read last week about laying down our lives one for another? I was speaking, and not to flatter you all, God forbid I'd ever do that, but you know, facts are facts. And I'm thankful to God. I was speaking with a sister that lives out of town. She misses the fellowship. But I said, you know, sister, there are truly brothers and sisters of like precious faith that I do believe would lay down their life for yours. And I mean that. By the grace of God, I believe that the Lord is bringing that love to us and that great love wherewith we are loved. But it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So again, how do we know this spirit has the spirit of God, or this spirit is of God? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So right off the bat, we see that there is this great warning that's going on here, and it's clear to us the warning is about false prophets. And brothers and sisters, this isn't necessarily talking about demon-possessed people that are preaching and spewing all these sorts of garbly-gook kind of things. This isn't that at all. This is talking about false teachers. This is talking about doctrinal error. This is talking about those that are taking the truth, turning it into a lie, giving people things that are not scriptural, that are causing people to be unrest because they're not settling down in the truth. And the precious thing about this is the end time preaching, and we're in it. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, that's 7:15 of Matthew, it tells us, beware of false prophets. They're here. They're around us. They're everywhere. Beware of them. Because what happens is they come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they look like sheep. They have silver tongues. They dress up real nice. They get big crowds. Listen to what they're saying. Because you know what? They're not just wolves. And they're not just wolves that pass by. They're wolves that are out to devour you. They are. They're wolves that are out there to trick you. They are wolves that are out there to lead you into things that are apart from God. And we need to realize this and not take it lightly, because you know what? We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And I see so many Christians, unfortunately, at this time being led away from so many things. And in Matthew 24:24, it tells us, this is end time preaching, brothers and sisters, for there shall arise false Christs, plural, false Christs, plural, and false prophets. And they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Okay, now that word elect is a wonderful word in the Word of God. It's His people. The ones that were picked out. The ones that He foreknew. And brothers and sisters, it's amazing what can happen to our lives when we don't settle down in the truth. When you start going by feeling, and you start going by emotion, and you might start going by heritage, or how I grew up, or what I think is right, devil's got you right where he wants you. We need to learn to go by faith. And faith has a wonderful instructional manual. It's called the Word of God. It's right here. And everything we need is in this Word. It'll grow you up. It'll feed you. It'll teach you how to be, many times I mention this to you, it'll teach you how to be a spouse. It'll teach you how to be a parent. It'll teach you everything you want to know. And it brings you back to one thing, the love of God. You love Him. You trust Him. You have faith in Him that you know what? He'll show you. And faith in Him so much that even if I be otherwise minded, He'll let that be known to me as well. See, He loves us. He cares for us that much. He loves His children. You're the apple of His eye. You just need to realize that. That you're His workmanship. And as we yield and leave our lives in His hands and quit allowing this world to influence us and quit worrying about what I think I need to be accepted or to buy this group or this is who I belong to. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're not your own. You were bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus, and you're His. That's it. Your citizenship is in heaven. I hope you know that. Oh my. I'm so thankful it is. Ready to depart, brothers and sisters, and willing by the grace of God. But as we see here, this is speaking to God's own children. And what He's saying is, wake up. Wake up, because there is a great slumber upon us. As it says there in 1 Thessalonians, there's a great slumber that's on the church right now. The great sleep on the people. And that sleep is because they're not in the Word of God. They're not in the doctrine. They're about the things of Christ, but the things of Christ are not living in them. And brothers and sisters, that's what we want. I want His Word working effectually in my life. And that's going to only come by believing Him. And that faith is only going to be increased one way, and that's by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Not by all the books, not by all the fanfare, not by all the music, not by all of these different things. It can be added to. That can be an encouragement to me. But it needs to be the Word of God. And it's by preaching, and it's by studying, and it's by prayer. And it's by a sincere heart that comes in to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm going into Your throne room today because I'm entering in the name of Jesus. And You've called me to come in here. And I'm just waiting for You to just fill me up. And every time I go in there anymore, I'm thinking, Lord, could this be the time when I do raise my head, I'm going to see You. And that's the truth. So grateful to God that He's calling us that way. There's the urgency that He's getting us ready. But I'm going to tell you something. As the Word of God is telling us here, if we're going to allow ourselves to be seduced by these worldly figures, I'm going to tell you that. And I'll tell you it again. If we're going to be allowing ourselves to be seduced by worldly figures, God forbid we just might miss the coming of the Lord. Amen? All right. I want us to be alert and awake, don't you? I want us to be ready to depart, not to be distracted by the things of this earth, but to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. That's what He's called us to, brothers and sisters. So let's allow ourselves to just fall into that love which is so calling us at this time. So here it is. It says, first of all, we're going to see about this spirit here. Believe not every spirit. But hereby you know the Spirit of God, because it's every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. See, there's many that are caught up into an appearance, like we've already mentioned. There's many that are caught up into anymore how somebody looks. All the form, but no substance. And that's exactly where we're at. Brothers and sisters, we have to wake up. Man looks on the outside. Man's always going to judge it by what it looks like, what it sounds like, how it flows. And yes, I'll go ahead and use our election at this time. They talk about, well, this person's more eloquent or this person. That's exactly what man wants. It is. God looks on the heart. And God knows what's going on in the heart. And God does know. I pray we're getting it. But I'm going to tell you, a spirit here, and what he's getting at here is the spirit is what is influencing and governing the soul. What's governing and influencing your soul? That's the spirit. That's the test. What is it? What's the motivation? And as it goes on, it says, how do you try that or try them? How do you test to see that it's genuine? It's the Word of God. As it says here, how do you know if it's the Spirit of God? Well, the very first question is, do you believe that Jesus is very God of very God? Do you believe that He came in the flesh? When He came to earth, was He God then or not? See, there was a thing going on at this time. And as I studied this, I really hadn't heard it before very much. But there was a preaching from these Gnostics that was going on. That they believed that Jesus the man was different than Jesus the Christ. And so Jesus the man was born in the manger. But Jesus the Christ, the very God of very God, didn't enter Jesus the man until after He was baptized. Now, I don't even know how you get to that one. But see, the devil can lead you anywhere you want to go if you're going to have an itching ear. And then, to top it off, Jesus the Christ left Jesus the man before the crucifixion. Because there's just no way He could have become sin like that, could He, Jesus the Christ? I thought that missed the whole thing in the Word of God, didn't you? Amen, it sure did. But see, that's where the devil can take you. If that's where you want to go, it's denying the deity. Now let me tell you something. He's very God of very God, and praise be to God, He's very man of very man too at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? He became that man. He became the lowly man. And when he became that man, that little baby, he was also very God, a very God. And hallelujah. As that sweet brother said, oh, my eyes are beholding my salvation. I lived long enough to behold my salvation. See, he knew. He knew. And we know. And that's it, brothers and sisters. And in John 5:1, it goes on to say, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not a Christ. Not part of something. The Christ. That is how we know that the Spirit is of God. Now, how many do we hear preaching right now or speaking that Jesus is a way? Huh? Pretty much anybody I hear anymore. And many Christians as well too. How many times do we hear that it's part, Jesus is part of a great plan with many paths? I'm telling you, we don't need to be deceived by this. This is an emotional thing. If a person is claiming that Jesus Christ is just a way, or part of many ways or many paths, flee. Get out of there. They shouldn't have ever been up on that pedal to begin with anyways. You understand what I'm saying? Because it should have been Christ Jesus anyways. But let me tell you something. If that individual, if that person that you've put up there is starting to spew those types of things, you better shut your ears to it. Amen? 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 All right. You're either for me or against me, the Lord said. And I believe He's very God of very God. And more importantly, He loves me. And He's the one that's shown Himself to love me every single moment. You too. Praise the Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you know that's what we have. That's why I love Him. And I want to stand for that. And how could we not stand for that? How could we compromise something like that? Venture out there. Now, I don't want to be like a Peter and be thinking in my confidence in myself. But brothers and sisters, oh, may we take a stand. And it's time to take a stand. And a mighty stand at that. That He is the way. And there isn't any other way. I'm telling you. Let's go ahead and keep reading. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. See, it's a spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And it's here. And it's all about us today. And it comes in many other forms. It's not just in this one that, you know, Jesus entered here and then He departed there. And, you know, all of this hullabaloo and all of those types of things. This is exactly what's going on today in many different things. And I'm telling you, these people that are speaking these things, some of them, I do believe, were saved earlier in their life. Possibly, and I pray they were. God help them. Yet they're claiming the many path route. How many times have you heard, well, it couldn't be God's plan to send so many people to hell? What about all those Muslims? What about all those Buddhists? What about all those over here and over there? See, you're just in the United States and you've only been groomed to understand this Christianity thing. Well, let me tell you something. It was never God's plan to send anybody to hell. Do you know that? He died for the sins of the world. All of it. Every bit of it. And His plan was not one should perish. Do you realize that? Not a Hitler? Huh? Not any of the wickedest leaders, the wickedest murderers that you could ever imagine. Not even them did He will to perish. That's the grace of God. That's the absolute grace of God. So when they say that, how insulting to the Father. Have you ever thought about that? God the Father gave His Son to die for all mankind. And yet, we're so proud in our own minds, in our own self, that we would deny that. I can begin to understand the wrath of God in that sometimes. But yet His love so covered it because He gave His Son. It hit me that one time. He said, you know, I'm all in, Son. I don't have any more to give. I'm absolutely all in. I don't know if I've ever been all in my life. I don't know about you. I just don't know. By the grace of God, I've said I'll go. And Lord, I just know by Your grace, You've got to continue to do it. Because it's got to be You. But this God gave every single bit that He had. And He gave His Son. And He gave His Son to die. And He gave His Son to become sin for us. And this is the I Am. And in Colossians 1:19, it said, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Do you want me to interpret that for you? Everything. It's all there. There isn't anything that couldn't be included when God says all fullness dwells in this one place. And that's My Son. I put all the love there. I put all the grace there. I put all the peace there. I put all the rest there. I put everything that you need in one place. And I rejoice in that one place. I don't have to go a lot of places to get it. I don't have to go to this place to get my socks and my shorts and my shirt and all of those different, even though they could even be in a different, in one room and all that. There's just one place. And that's Jesus. And I'm not making light of that. I'm glorying in that. Because let me tell you something. This life needs simplicity. Your life needs simplicity. And you need to understand it's in one place. And it's all in order in that one place. See, there isn't anything else, brothers and sisters. It's all in Him. He was freely given to die. And praise God, we believe. And God has already showed here that He doesn't mess around. Do we remember Noah's Ark? Huh? He's shown this before. He's a just God. And He's going to show Himself faithful. And He's going to show that there's a time when that time is going to be no more. And He's going to wrap it up. So it is coming. All right, verse 4. Ye are of God. I love that. Little children. And have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, He's speaking to little children here. Remember we talked about who the little children, what that means? Those are the baby infants in Christ. The ones that have maybe just played church a little bit and whatever. But look at the same offering to them. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. You talk about an offering. You talk about the grace of God. It's there for all His children, isn't it? And He does and He is encouraging us to grow up. But at the same time, I'm just so thankful for His faithfulness. But what it is it's ye little children, the infants, the ones that He's speaking to here so clearly. And brothers and sisters, don't think that we're excluded from this because in our unbelief, we move right into this little children infancy. But these are the ones that are having problems listening to all the worldly garbage. Infants can be tricked into anything. Oh, yeah. I did it with my kids. Daddy played pro football. I was about a foot taller back then, son. Now, I don't like you laughing like that. I was real fast. No, but they can be tricked. They can be fooled. That's why we have so many things for these little kids, don't they? Don't talk to strangers, right? Don't go just go off and get in a car. Don't accept candy from people, you know. Think of all the things that we tell our kids over and over and over. Think of how many times God tells His kids over and over and over. But yet how many adults really ever get it? Has to be spiritually discerned. Something you want. Something you want to go after. Something you want to stand for. Something that you finally realize, Lord, this is me. This is who I am. This is my life. My life is of faith. It's not about anything else. It's not about my heritage. It's not about all the aspirations that somebody put in me about being something in the world, making so much money, having such a big house. Huh? Come on now. We're of Him. We're in Him. We're the family of God. By the grace of God, we've been called. And we are now the sons of God. I don't want to be tied with stuff down here. Don't be tied with things down here. I think we're in a good state. We're at a Bible study on a Wednesday night. Lots of things going on tonight. Baseball game's not finished. Political speech is still going on. I think you're in a safe house tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you love Him too. It makes my heart thrill. But here it is. Even these little children, like we read earlier. I love this. I guess I am kind of getting bad because I'm just so tired of hearing it all. But they still got hope. They do. Because greater is He that's in ye than he that's in the world. And I don't got hope because of who I'm hoping to gets in the presidency. God help us with that. Amen. But because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, the hope is because God is able. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world hears them. So you notice it went from ye to they. These little words are very important. They. Okay. I like ye. Don't want to be they. The next verse, we're coming to we. It's where we need to be. But let's look at they for a minute. It's important. This is the sinner. This is the ungodly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We quoted that earlier. The world cannot understand the things of God. They can't. It has to be spiritually discerned, brothers and sisters. Matter of fact, not only do they not hear them or understand them, they just count them as foolishness. And it's become very blatant now. It's almost a popular thing to discredit the Word of God publicly. It is. We talk about political correctness now. Political correctness now is to disregard Jesus Christ. Political correctness now is to get God out of everything. And in case you didn't know, this nation was founded not just on the thought of God. It was founded upon the Word of God. And that's how you have God. Remember we've been reading that? Have Jesus, got God. Don't have Jesus, don't have God. Comes in a wonderful package, doesn't it? Hallelujah. And that's our wonderful God. So, the world hears the world. And I was thinking of this, why would I want to either hear or be heard of the world? Why would that be important to me? There was a time, I guess it was. But you know what? I don't want that. Isn't that something, how the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of that glory? Praise the Lord. As we open our lives to Him, the things that really are something become something. And He's the only something that I'm finding out there really is. And it's what He's building in our lives, brothers and sisters. And that's the peace that we have. And see, just know that. This isn't brainwashing. This isn't anything of that nature. This is falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is falling in love with His Word. Believing Him at His Word. But I'm not talking here about the interacting that we have day to day, or by the grace of God living a testimony in the world every day. We should. But I'm talking about fellowship in the world as well too. The environment that we go into in the world. The entertainment that we might be seeking in the world. All this comes down to, are you being entangled with the things of the world? Birds don't fly well when they're in a net. Okay. He's made you free. You're free. Now, is it going to be our choice to be entangled with the things of this world? Or are we ready to take flight? Praise God. Ready to take flight. And that flight's on time, and it's coming. And you truly got one shot. Not get ready. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Birds don't think about flying, they just fly. Yep, they do. Don't think about it. They just go. Mm-hmm. I love that airplane of mine. I call her a she, and she is a she. She's got a lot of get up and go. And every time I get in there, I think, man, she loves to fly. She never likes to sit down. She just loves to go. And man, when she gets up, she just goes and goes. Yeah. There's a lot of the Word of God all around us, just to be aware. But brothers and sisters, what this is encouraging us, we need to be careful what we hear. By the grace of God, we need to be aware of what we're filling up our minds with. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You play with the fire. You may think that you're real funny and, you know, you never get burned. But you know you stink of smoke. You do. God wants us that sweet-smelling sacrifice. Verse 6, and we'll wrap it up with this. We are of God. Brother John really knew, didn't he? It's a wonderful statement. There was the ye, there was the they, and now it's we. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So now, praise God, it's John and the we. Just so matter-of-factly as Brother Paul, as when he said in 1 Corinthians 7:40, I think I have the Spirit of God. Isn't that a wonderful statement? I love when he said that. Now, he knew he did. But I thought in that wonderful humility, when he was telling those brothers and sisters in Christ what the Lord can do in your life and how you can live for Him, if He's given you those liberties, you take them. But he said, I think I have the Spirit of God. See, he knew the Holy Spirit was directing his life. See, brothers and sisters, there truly is the entering in faith. That when he said, I'm calling you, I'm praying for you, that you receive all the perfect and complete will of God. Do you know you can have that right now? Do you know that you can live that right now? Do you know that that can be in your life right now? Amen? Oh, I hope we believe that. Because see, that's what God wants. He wants that for you. And God can put that desire that you want that for yourself, but you still realize that that's a gift as well. But Lord, you want that for me. And so in the provision and in your might and in your power and your will, I can enter in to that longing and that desire. And you can implant it into my life. I can actually live for Christ. He can actually make me the person that He's made me to be. And I can enter into that new man who I am. Brother Paul was fighting with that, wasn't he? Oh, the good that I would, I do not. Oh, but the evil that I would not, that I do. But God. But God. It's not you that puts yourself here tonight. Absolutely not. It's the love of God that brought you here. It's His faithfulness that brought you here. If you're on fire for the things of God tonight, it's His faithfulness. If you need a little pick-me-up because you're in a desert tonight. So I was speaking with a brother earlier today. What a great time to sow. Well, brother, there's no water out here. It's as parched dry as no. What are you going to do? I'm going to sow. And I'm going to sow, and I'm going to sow, and I'm going to sow. Uh-huh. And I mean it, brothers and sisters. By the grace of God, may we not go by feeling. By the grace of God, I appreciate that Abraham, but he taught me something. When there's a famine, don't you go running into Egypt. Don't do it. The Lord might come. Yeah. And that's not in fear living. I hope you understand that. It's a privilege to live in that desert. It's a privilege to be pressed out of measure so much that I despair of my own life. I know what He's doing. And He's doing it in you. Just believe Him. Just believe Him. He's empowered you to believe Him like that. He really has. Oh, God help us. But we are of God, it says. And he that knows God hears us. And what a distinction this is. This is, I really think of it as the reality check. The reality check. Do we really know God? And as we're talking about the word knowledge here, this knowing here, this is the intimate knowledge. Let's take it for what God is bringing it out to us. This is the knowledge between a husband and a wife knowledge. This isn't something that's just superficial. Well, I know you as friend. This was the call that Brother Peter was under when the Lord Himself was dealing with him. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? This is the knowing. Lord, Thou knowest. Lord, only You could put that knowledge in my life. Lord, it's only going to be there by knowing the power of Your resurrection. It's only going to be known by the fellowship of Your sufferings. It's only going to be known by being made conformable even unto Your very death. Yeah. I know you're thinking, my goodness, I'm understanding what all this was about. This wasn't just a bad omen, was it? I remember that man that came in my office. And I said, oh man, you're a child of the King. He's dealing with you. God's bringing you the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus doctrine. No wonder the devil's trying to chase you out of this church. Oh, I'll find another church. The devil might have you real comfortable there. You know, they don't even talk bad about me over there. I only saw smiles. We were embracing around a campfire, and it's just always like singing, you're my friend. See, when you're no challenge to the devil, he'll put you right where you need to be. But when you're running, and you're running hard, he's going to fight you all the way. But remember this, that God still has to allow him. Have you noticed my servant Job? Have you seen him? Oh, he's fine. Have you seen my sisters? Have you seen my brothers? Man, we're right at the end, brothers and sisters. We're right there. We are right there. God help us to finish with joy. To go across that line someday. See, I finished. God, You've enabled me by grace to keep the faith. Oh, I want to finish so well. Oh, hallelujah. But we'll wrap it up. But brothers and sisters, this is why the majority of Christians don't want to hear the truth. It's because they only want a feeling. They only want an experience of happiness. They don't want too much truth because it might get in the way of their worldly lifestyle. See, we either choose to know or we choose not to know. You choose. You choose not to know. Because God said, I would have all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. That's everybody. That's just as much as I don't want one to perish. Not only do I not want one to perish, I want everyone to win me. What a love. But I'll tell you what, if you refuse to know, that means you refuse to hear. And if you refuse to hear, that means you don't want sound doctrine. And if you don't want sound doctrine, that means that you're going to heap to yourselves teachers and preachers because you have itching ears for anything but sound doctrine. I'm going to give it to you like it is. By the grace of God, I'm not going to be here giving you anything else. But it's so simple, brothers and sisters. This is how you know the Spirit. Are we allowing what Spirit to lead our lives? And tonight, as we go our way, is it the Spirit of truth? Is it? Is that the Spirit that's leading our lives? Is the Spirit that's influencing and governing our soul? Is it the Holy Spirit? Would the Holy Spirit ever be out of step with the Word of God? Oh no. He came to take the things of Christ and to make them ours. That's what He does. That's what that Spirit does. That's what the Spirit that rules and reigns in a soul that wants God's best, that's the only thing it cries for. It's the only thing it'll eventually yearn. It's the only thing that'll ever satisfy it. That's the Spirit of God. That's the yearning. That's the desire. And brothers and sisters, a willing, yielded, sincere, surrendered soul, God is faithful to bring all the understanding, and ye shall know. Ye shall know. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for Your great love. Lord, just thank You that You continue to call us. Out of Your great mercy, love, and grace, You continue to draw us. Lord, I pray for everyone here, myself so included, Lord God. Help us increase our faith. Help us to be a thankful people. God, we know that this is not of us because we would be so unthankful and so ungrateful so quickly. But God, in Your tender mercies, You continue to show Your great grace. Even though we're not faithful, He abide faithful still. Lord God, thank You for that. Lord, thank You that not only do we have a chance, Lord God, it's already been done. Oh, help us to have the faith to lay hold of it, Lord God. That in You and in that wonderful power of Your very might, that we can finish this with joy. God, let us know that it's going to be worth it all. That these truly are light afflictions that are just for a moment. That are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.